5, 4, 3. Welcome to Working Musicians, a feature of theworkingmusician.com. My name is Roger Z, Mr. Clean. I'm glad to be here with part two of Lev's Boombox. We've got Paul Frazier on bass today. Or always, I should say. We got Mo Roberts on drums, Pete Levin, one of the two infamous Pete Levins. I'm going to try to get the other one on the show, except I think he only plays like the Hammond B3.
Yeah, yeah.
I think his back is hurting. I mean, that's a monster instrument.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I have a few of them as well. Great, classic sound, can't do any better.
Now, when you do your... when you do your session work, mm-hmm. you know, I've been reading about guys who do session work, especially mm-hmm. guitar players in Nashville, mm. and they have like cartage, like they don't move their equipment. They actually have like a huge moving van, bring all their amps, all their guitars. Mm-hmm. Do you do that when you do a session in Manhattan? Like, I mean, really, like the Hammond B3 and stuff like that?
Most of the bigger, sort of more established studios, still, although there are fewer of them left, still have Hammonds in them. So I don't really need to carry it on my organ, but I do take it out every once in a while. You know, I have a few different Leslies that I take out. So yeah, I you know, it depends on the session. If someone wants the analog, old school stuff, I'll bring my own.
Do you charge extra for that?
Absolutely.
Now what about this keyboard?
Yeah.
Is this weighted keys?
Not weighted keys.
Interesting.
Yeah, the reason why I actually love this keyboard, I have two of them. Most of the old school sounds that I love, clavinet, Wurlitzer, Hammond, are not weighted keys. Piano obviously is, and it's kind of funny, I grew up playing on a piano. So sometimes I do miss the weighted action, but not when I have to carry it, and not when this weighs 11 pounds. And you know, it's the best sounding thing for organic sounds out there. Clavinet, Rhodes, Whirly, there's nothing better. So I've been really happy with this board.
And it's a Nord Electro 2.
Yeah, made by a company out of Sweden called Klavia, C-L-A-V-I-A.
I'm admiring your stand. It looks like you ripped a Formica countertop off of it. I see the screw holes here.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, this is an old mixer stand for those big old school mixers. And I like them because it was the only stand that could actually support a real Fender Rhodes. So I just sort of got used to them. I like the way they leave your space for your legs, and you can dance and do whatever you got
to
do.
Your knees have to breathe.
Exactly. Your knees have
now,
to breathe.
Now, most... like on the gigs that I've seen you with like Gil Paris,
sure.
Do you play multiple keyboards? Do you like stack them? Or?
Yeah, sometimes. I always have one of these. Sometimes I have another one of these as well. So I have two of these, and then I also use a small Korg makes a micro synth, mini keys, but great, great, great sounds. Great old school synth sounds. So. You got to get in there nice and tight, and
you know the band Live Society.
Yeah,
Anthony
I know.
Candle.
Yeah.
Their keyboard player has something like that. It's like a little thing like this.
Exactly. And I Velcro it right here, so it won't move. And I try to make my sausage fingers look like darts and play real precise on those tiny keys.
You still listen to classical music?
Classical music? Very rarely. These days, very rarely, not much as I should. I do like it. I don't listen to it enough, though.
You know, I never listen to it. I avoid it when possible. But my daughter broke one of the button presets on my car radio. Uh-huh. So to get to one of the stations, I have to hit the button four times. Four times, and right. I forget. I'll hit it twice, and I'm on the classical station. So I've been getting back into it a little bit.
Yeah.
It's weird how that works.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to talk about your influences. We're going to talk about the struggles of the music business, although, God, I wish I was half as successful as you guys. But what are you going to play for us this session?
This session I'm going to play something called I Know How You Feel, which is, you know, like an old school ballady kind of thing, funky ballad. And then the other song is something called Got a Light, which I actually recorded with Gil on his Jam This record.
I love that record.
Yeah.
I was listening to that record yesterday.
Oh, cool. Yeah, great.
That's right. That's right. I was going, who is that singer? And I looked at the album because I'm, Gil just put out his DVD, the live DVD.
Sure.
So I wanted to hear the tunes because he's repeated some tunes on different albums.
Sure.
Okay. So without further ado, let's unmute that mic and let's funk.
Let's do it. Stand on fire, and I sleep, I can't eat, and you never treat me right. I ain't got a peace of mind, gotta keep my head on tight. I can't sleep, I can't eat, and you never treat me right. I ain't got a peace of mind, gotta keep my head on tight. I can't sleep, I can't eat, and you never treat me right. Something called Gotta Light. We'll be right back.
Picturing that old Soul Train locomotive from the theme show.
Oh, nice.
Going down
nice.
The track. Nice. That was awesome, guys.
Oh, thanks, man. Thanks, Roger.
That was working.
You guys were working out. I was waiting for the big, we were talking about Moby Dick. I was waiting for the drum solo.
Yeah, it wouldn't have gone well with a busted bass drum head.
Oh. You guys.
Oh, okay, get it back.
Well, it's a day of making do. You guys...
yeah, right. Truck on. Chuck on, as we say.
Yeah, guys sound great.
Thank you.
Let's talk about the struggle of the music business. I mean, you guys...
Sure.
You guys are really good musicians. I mean, it's making me... I'm excited because now I'm going to go home. I'm going to be all energized. I'm going to pick up my guitar. I'm going to play for a couple of hours just because you inspired me. But you guys all make your living from doing this?
Yes. Full time?
Yeah. Full time. Wow. That's... Tell me about it. Tell me how you got to this level.
Well, that's a good question. well, you know, it just really started. I mean, for me personally, once I sort of moved back here from school, I just sort of submersed myself playing as many gigs on keys and drums as I could. I had my bands that I was working with and writing for, but then I, whatever other sessions I picked up or other gigs I took, and I just started taking more and more gigs, and word of mouth spreads, and then that's kind of sort of hooked in with some music industry folks. So then I got on some good tours and some things like that, and it all sort of snowballs, word of mouth, and so on and so forth.
Did you start with the general business, wedding gigs, or
I didn't start with that. I sort of worked into that, you know, through some mutual friends that we know.
Don't blame me.
And, And yeah, so I did get into that, not initially when I moved back home, but more so, you know, once I was here for about 2 or 3 years after I moved back home, I started doing more business stuff and, you know, GB gigs, that kind of thing.
What's your home base now? Where do you
live? New York City. I grew up in New York City.
So. Oh, Manhattan.
Manhattan.
Cool.
Yeah. So,
let's talk about your influences. You know, we were talking a little bit before on part one of the show.
right.
And you're talking about Jimi Hendrix and you're talking about Led Zeppelin. I'm not hearing it. I mean, but it's funny because
it's there somewhere.
But you you didn't bring a guitar player on this gig, so maybe if you had a guitar player, I'd hear. Tell me what was the big bang for you? Did something happen like you were watching the Beatles on Ed Sullivan, or you know, you heard a song on AM radio, or what kicked it for you?
Great question. There were two songs I sort of remember looking back on that definitely I was just like, wow, and every time I heard them. The first one was In the Stone, actually, Earth, Wind, Fire, because the basketball team I played on, that was like our, you know, we would break through the sign and run on the court with that song going.
I don't know that song.
It's
one of their earlier albums?
Yeah, one of the earlier ones. It's off, Spirit or Head to the Sky? One of those mid-70s ones. Mid-70s ones, 75. Great song. And just, it's, you know, that song and also Bring It On Home, Led Zeppelin. Like when I first heard that, when, you know, the guitar kicks in and then that riff kicks in and then the drums kick in, it's like, wow, oh my God. You know, so I have very fond memories of those two songs in particular, you know.
And it's interesting. Do you still work as a drummer now?
You know, I do. I do a lot of recordings for my own stuff. And then also, I'll do friends that have known me for a while. I'll play drums on some of their projects and some random stuff as well. But mostly it's keyboards and singing these days.
So once again, where can we see you?
You can see us mostly in New York.
New York being Manhattan. Not the other four boroughs.
Mostly in New York City. Fontana's on the Lower East Side, Session 73 Upper East Side, what used to be Irving Plaza every once in a while, occasionally Bowery Ballroom, so the whole spectrum, small places and big
when you
places.
Play these clubs, it's under Lev's Boombox?
Yeah, Lev's Boombox, or my nickname, Lev. Yeah.
And are these original cover gigs, mixture of both?
Usually we're doing more originals now. We in the past have played a lot of gigs where we're doing three sets a night, so yeah, we're definitely playing some covers, which is great too, but now more so sort of doing the more one set kind of thing, get on there, play original material, and maybe one cover, which we sort of have revamped our own way, you know. So pretty much originals right now.
So what's interesting is usually people make money where they least expect it in the music business. Right. So you're telling me, so where are you making your money in the music business now?
Where am I making? That's a...
Because I know you're not making it from the one set gigs down in Manhattan.
That's a great question.
I've been there, done that. You don't have to answer.
I'm happy to tell you. You know, for the last 4 years, I've had my own recording studio in Midtown Manhattan. I got a bunch of great old school gear.
What's the studio called?
It's called Moon Palace, which was named after my favorite Chinese food restaurant as a kid.
Okay.
So anyway, I have great old gear there, and you know, I've been performing and touring for, you know, a lot of years now. So through word of mouth, people know I have my own place. They come in and bring their music session files, Pro Tool files, or whatever. We put all my great old school gear right to their music through my computer, and they walk out with me playing on their project. So I'm getting a lot of work through that way, through that medium now.
Do they bring in like kind of the song they did in Pro Tools and then you overdub, or do they actually
record? Yeah, exactly. They're both. Sometimes they'll bring in Pro Tools sessions on a hard drive, or sometimes they'll just bring in a melody they've sung on a CD, and we'll do it all there. But mostly what I'm really, you know, you asked me how I'm making the most money. The most money is really, you know, playing keyboards on sessions where people either send me the files through email or they bring the files there. I do it all in my studio and then send it back, or they walk out of there with the files.
After you get the check.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
right,
yeah.
Post office, exactly. But you do PayPal.
Yeah, yeah, cash is king. I'm a cash guy.
You guys were overwhelming today. I'm sorry I didn't get to talk to you. I'm going to talk to you later. We'll talk about bringing you guys on individually. You guys are fantastic. You really blew me away.
Roger. Oh, thanks, Roger.
Thank
appreciate
you so
it.
Much for coming
thanks
down.
For having
yeah,
us.
Thanks for having us, man. Really appreciate yeah, it very yeah. much.
Awesome job, guys.
Thank you, brother. Right on.
Well, I'm surprised you waited to the end to push your studio.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah, you know. Motherfucker.
Bass drum hit. I broke the bass drum hit.
I know, I heard, but not till the end, though, right?
In the middle, yeah, that's God, what, that's how I slept.
All right, let's take it from the top. This time.
Son of a bitch.
Maybe you guys will play it right this time.
Feel it.
Yeah, you guys, that was just terrific.
Thanks, Roger.
Really,
yeah,
really,
thanks, Roger.
Really.
You said this keyboard is 11 pounds?
Yeah, feel it. Go ahead.
Oh, man.
It's a can lot lighter than a Fender Rhodes or a Hammond.
I can't see it. Oh,
man. But my grandson can carry that.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I didn't realize weighted, that you can't play clavinet and all that stuff with weighted keys. That's really interesting.
I mean, you can. You can. It's just, it might throw off, depending upon, you know, who the player is, it just might throw your feel off, because clavinet's real light keys. You
clavinet
know?
Keys, are they break you.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, when I used to play in the 70s, guys had Fender Rhodes.
Oh, yeah.
And the
yeah,
keys
yeah.
would break all the time.
Oh, yeah. Those are whirlies.
Dude, the JBL on your speaker lights up?
Yeah.
You asked for that?
Yeah, and they made it specifically for me.
Nah, it's one of their newer joints.